As we approach the end of our liturgical year, the readings start to focus on the end times. Today's readings focus on the end of our time, one might say, the resurrection and what happens after death. Next Sunday, the readings are going to focus on the end of the world times. And then the following Sunday is the end of our liturgical year, which is the feast of Christ the King. And then we have the first Sunday of Advent. It's coming quickly, people. Very quickly. And during this month in November, we're called, both as a church and even civilly, we're called to remember those who have gone before us. We're called to remember our deceased loved ones. November 1st was All Saints Day, when we celebrated all of our spiritual heroes. November 2nd is All Souls Day, when we pray for all those who have died and still possibly wait the kingdom of heaven. And tomorrow we'll celebrate Remembrance Day, when we celebrate all of those who have sacrificed their life so that we can enjoy this freedom, which most of us, most days, take for granted. The first reading today from the book of Maccabees. This is a family who will not be dissuaded from their faith. They will not deny their faith in God, and they will live their life faithfully right to the end because of their confidence that even if someone is to destroy the body of this earthly dwelling, they're going to experience the resurrection and God will indeed reward them. They are going to be faithful to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This king, King Antiochus of Syria, he wants to get rid of all religion. Like all dictators, he wants to get rid of all religion except the one that people will have to worship him in essence a pagan religion, wants them also to embrace all of the Greek gods, but where he gets to be one of the gods that they must worship. And they have to do something to defile themselves, and they refuse to, and they remain faithful. The early Christians experienced something similar. As you know, for the first 300 years of Christianity, most of the time, we were persecuted. We would not come to church in a public gathering with public knowledge by everyone where it was happening because we'd be arrested for being here. It's as simple as that. In the early church, if we were to gather, we'd be in someone's house, all the windows would be covered and blocked out, and we would be celebrating Mass in the most secretive way possible because if we were caught, we'd be imprisoned, we'd be beaten, and possibly put to death. Just for being Christian, just for worshiping our God. And the early Christians actually used the scriptures, used this book of Maccabees as one of their encouragements to remain faithful. Because when they were caught, all they would have had to do is deny their faith, deny Jesus Christ, deny the resurrection, and in doing so, then they would have been allowed to leave, and their life would have been spared. But they chose not to. And that's why we have All Saints Day. We celebrate all those who witness to their faith to the point of being a martyr. And the word martyr just means witness, but witnessing to the point of shedding their blood for what they truly believed. Today's gospel, Jesus brings to the fore this concept of the resurrection. He affirms what the Maccabean family had already understood. And today, at the beginning of this gospel, he's having this conversation with this group called the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection. And that's why they're sad, you see. Yes, that's right. I know, I can't help myself every time. But they don't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus is explaining, you know, they're using this system of understanding of how Moses had commanded that if someone marries and they die, then the brother is called to marry the wife of the deceased brother so that he will raise children, and it happens, the whole family. And they're using all this human imagery and human logic, and then Jesus answers them by taking it to a realm that they can't comprehend. and that is the realm of the eternal, not the realm of time and space, but what life is like in the resurrection. For here on earth there is marrying, giving in marriage, and taking in marriage. It is this longing for many different things, many aspects in order to feel complete, in order to feel fulfilled, the longing for the other to have that sense of completion, the longing for various things. But when we die, there is a longing for only one thing. There is only one desire that every single person has once they die. They desire to be in union with God. That is the one desire. And that common union with God unites us with everyone else. And so that's why during this month of November, we pray for our deceased loved ones. This concept of praying for the dead comes from the book of Maccabees, as well as from St. Paul, who exhorts us to pray for those who have died. It's a unique concept, or a concept that people can struggle with, and yet even in Dante's Paradiso, the paradise going into heaven, he uses the image of even in heaven, there are many layers, because as the soul is only able to experience a certain amount of God's immense love, and as they progress through the different layers, eventually they see the bright light of God, the truth of God. And even in the book, Dante's book, Dante meets Saint Bernard, who takes him to Mary, and he asks Mary to pray for him that Dante will understand, and then the clouds part and Dante sees the vision of the Trinity, and all is made known to him, and he understands all. It's a fictional book, but it's good imagery. But it's this image that when we die, there is still this sense of progression. And in purgatory, where we're called to pray for the deceased, our deceased loved ones, it's an experience, and I actually had a student ask me about this. Well, but if God forgives us and God loves us, then why would this even be? Because it's just like here on earth. Although I love someone, and although I may have done something that hurts them, and although they have forgiven me and I have forgiven them, there is still some attachment to that. You know, if I use something so crass as someone kicking me in the shins, I may forgive them, but there's still a bruise. There is still maybe some remorse. There's still some attachment to that event that still dwells with us, that we still take with us. And the concept of purgatory is a place where all of these attachments, unhealthy attachments to earthly things, are purged. Purged by God's love. Purged by God's mercy. Purged by God's forgiveness. Through the intercession of the prayers of us here on earth and the saints in heaven, and through their intercession. Now the challenge is that when we leave this life, we no longer live in time and space. We enter into eternity, where a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. It's all one. And so therefore, that process of being purified in God's love, in God's grace, in God's mercy, is like a day or 1,000 years. It is like a twinkling of an eye. We don't know. But we know that in God's love and mercy for each and every one of us who strive to live our lives faithfully, and yet, I'll be the first to admit it, don't do it perfectly. Whether it is we are not charitable enough, kind enough, forgiving enough, merciful enough, compassionate enough, that we still have these imperfections that cling to us and maybe even we cling to. And it is through God's mercy and grace that he allows us to be purified in his love. Today, as we celebrate this Eucharist and we reflect on praying for our deceased loved ones, we reflect on our spiritual heroes, the lives of the saints, and even tomorrow we reflect and we pray for those who have either given the ultimate sacrifice so we could sit here in freedom without worry of being put to death just for coming to church, or those who have survived and those veterans who still live with the burden who still live with those things that still cling to them from the experience that they have had by giving us our freedom. We in our country most likely will never be asked, like the early Christians, to die for our faith. But we have an equally difficult challenge. We are called to live for our faith, for our love of God, in a world that doesn't always see the value of it, in a world that may ridicule it. We are called to live and to persevere and to strive to love God and our neighbor. So today, as we celebrate this Eucharist, let us ask for the grace to always remember those that have gone before us and to continue to pray for them. Let us ask for the grace to be able to persevere in our own faith, given the strength and the grace to live our life faithfully in the midst of challenge, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of not being accepted. And most importantly, let us today pray for the grace to truly understand the resurrection that Jesus Christ has won for each and every one of us, that he speaks about in this gospel today. That he is the resurrection, that there is life after death, validated through his own resurrection, the resurrection that the apostles experienced and completely transformed them from being people who would run and disown him to people who now would fearlessly proclaim the gospel. We are about to celebrate the Eucharist, where we will celebrate the life, the passion of Christ, the presentation of the Eucharist, the Last Supper, where Jesus Christ takes the bread and said, "This is my body, which will be given up for you." And we celebrate the next day when he fulfills the promise made to us and his body is offered up for us on the cross. And most importantly, we celebrate the resurrection. When we celebrate and we receive the glorified, resurrected body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Today, let us pray for that grace. To continue to pray for our deceased loved ones, the grace to persevere in our faith, and the grace to truly understand the incredible gift that God has given us in the Eucharist through his resurrection that has opened the gates of paradise for all who believe.